I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our special St. Louis visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are writer Jimmy Israel. He's with us from Cleveland, his home base. But here at St. Louis Public Radio, we have Christopher Ave, political editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, showing his love for his alma mater, Washington University in St. Louis. We have regular contributor Arsalan Iftikhar. He's senior editor of the Islamic Monthly, and also traveling out with us from Washington, D.C., Tell Me More editor Ahmad Omar. Thanks to everybody for coming.
Thank you.
How's it going?
And Jimmy, before I turn it over to you, I have just a couple little bits of business. First of all, Christopher Ave, I think you might remember the last time we spoke with you back in October. You did a little trash talking. Remember this?
Mm-mm. I am supremely confident in the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, it's not that they lost. They just didn't win. I don't know why I'm talking trash when I have a whole live audience here of people who are ready to like throw pens at me. But are you ready to eat a little slice of humble? What happened there?
No. They were only the National League champions. I mean, come on now. They only had more rookies contribute more good innings than any team in baseball. I think they did okay. The bats went a little silent in the World Series. That's true. But I bet those boys are back there practicing right now.
I'm sure they are.
Yes.
Well, good. And you're a true fan. Okay, well, we're glad that you met the challenge of being a true fan. And one on a happier note, happy birthday, Jimmy.
Oh, Michelle, thank you. Thank you so much. 33 feels so good. Hey, fellas, Michelle.
Hey, don't take it away, okay?
Thank Jimmy. You. Welcome to the shop. St. Louis, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Doing great. You missed
everybody
your flight,
quiet.
Man. What
happened? Okay, you know what? So let's get it on. Guess what?
And this is a little bit. I mean, this first topic is a little sad, but so.
It is.
That being said,
as it happens, there's yet another scandal in the NFL. Oh my, clutch the pearls. It involves Miami Dolphins player Richie Incognito and teammate Jonathan Martin. Incognito, he's been accused of racist and threatening trash talk and what some call bullying. Isn't that right, Michelle?
That is true, and we can't even play the clip of the email or the voicemail that has been entered into evidence in this case and what's been being discussed because it's so profane. But it's interesting that Richie Incognito is getting a lot of support from teammates. I mean, here's Dolphin quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
I think if you would have asked John Martin a week before, you know, who his best friend on the team was, he would have said Richie Incognito. The first guy to stand up for Jonathan when anything went down on the field, any kind of tussle, Richie was the first guy there.
So I should add that, you know, Martin has counsel now. Jonathan Martin, who's no relation to me, by the way, in case you were wondering, did not specifically name Richie Incognito in a statement released yesterday. In fact, the statement alleged that multiple people harassed Jonathan Martin, and he said that Martin tried to befriend the teammates who were abusing him, hoping that it would end the harassment or kind of ameliorate the harassment. So, Jimmy, back to you.
Thank you, Michelle. You know what? Some NFL players say Martin shouldn't have left the team, and I'm with those people. This is not a popular opinion, but the way I see it, Martin should have taken dude outside and put his lights out. I absolutely do not believe in a society where we run to the principal's office every time these petty tyrants make a threat. Rhetoric and admonition does not dispatch bullies. Only power dispatches bullies. You know, man up, my dude. A-Train.
Yes,
Arsalan Iftikhar. I know you're going to feel differently on this. So weigh in.
Of course. You know, for me, this whole Miami Dolphins fiasco, you know, it started with bullying, and then it sort of went to hazing, and now it's gotten to the point where it seems as though Richie Incognito was being given orders to quote-unquote toughen up Jonathan Martin, and it really reminds me of the movie A Few Good Men with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, where, you know, Coach Philbin of the Dolphins, you know, is Colonel Jessup in this case, and I'm literally waiting for somebody to ask, Coach Philbin, did you order the code red? And I can't even imagine what, you know, if he says, you're GD right, I did, I don't know what's going to happen then. And so, you know, this is not this first of all shows that bullying is not isolated to schoolyard incidents, that it does happen in the workplace. You know, to your point, Jimmy, Jonathan Martin is a Stanford University graduate. Not everybody resorts to violence in response to bullying, and I applaud him for that. But I think that this is much more pandemic. I think it goes way up. It goes much higher in the chain, and it really does remind me of A Few Good Men.
Oh, man. I guess I have a problem. Thank you with that, A-Train, because, you know, Jonathan Martin is a grown man. You can't bully a grown man. Since when? Christopher Ave, you know, Incognito, let's talk about him. He's a former St. Louis Ram, as it happens. Would you welcome him back right about now?
No. First of all, let me say, as a rookie in the shop, don't haze me, bro.
Okay. Would never happen.
All right. Check thanks.
Never let that happen.
Jimmy told me to toughen you up.
I may not be 6'4 and 320, but I think my words would be attended to. I think you're okay.
Indeed they would, Michelle. Now, here's the deal. Yes, Incognito spent some time in St. Louis, where he, I believe, was the most penalized offensive lineman, if not the most penalized player in the NFL, voted the dirtiest player in the NFL, and he was drummed out of here. Now, my deal is this. I don't care if a coach told him, hey, toughen this guy up. I mean, racial slurs, talking about his mama, talking about his sister, this is not being a good teammate. I mean, what does a good team do? A good team sacrifices individuals for the benefit of the team. This is selfish, pig-headed, awful behavior that has no place in team sports, in my opinion. So I'd kick him out again.
He's, you Ahmad. Know what? Yeah, Ahmad. I don't play.
Well, let's hear from Ahmad. We got to roll.
Go ahead, Ahmad.
Yeah, the interesting thing to me is we're talking about Richie Incognito and what might happen to him, but I think the thing that's really to be seen is what's going to happen to Jonathan Martin, because Richie Incognito's teammates have rallied around him, the black teammates and the white teammates. They all say, hey, this is our guy. He's not racist, you know. I spoke to a friend of mine who spent some time in NFL locker rooms and college locker rooms, and he said, this kind of language, it's shocking to us working in regular office jobs. If I sent a voicemail like that to any of my colleagues, there'd be no question about it. But if you're in an NFL locker room, the entire culture is different. And the interesting thing about an NFL locker room now is that anyone that shakes up that culture, they become the target. And the question is whether he will get another chance. We talked a little bit last year about Chris Cluey. He was a punter on the Minnesota Vikings. He spoke out about gay rights in the NFL. He's never gotten a sniff from another team again just for speaking out about that. Another player, Kerry Rhodes, rumors surfaced that he might be gay. And he's a pretty decent player, but no team's going to give him another chance this year, a lot of people say, based on those rumors. So shaking up the culture and exposing that thing to the kind of outside world is really what's held to a bad standard in the NFL.
Okay, so let me ask you, where's the fan responsibility in all this? Where is the fan responsibility? I mean, I think a lot of people saw the movie 42 about Jackie Robinson's, you know, breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And one of the points that the film makes abundantly clear is how much racist abuse he had to endure from fans, mm-hmm. but from teammates too. And you're supposed to go out there and defend this guy and throw your body in front of this guy for this. It's all in. I mean, so where's the fan responsibility in here, guys?
Well, I can tell you, this is our salon. My brother is a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, and he has texted me numerous times over the last few weeks saying how ashamed he is to be a Miami Dolphins fan right now. And I think that that's something that is transcendent. And I think many football fans, I mean, all of us here are NFL fans. And I think that this goes beyond the pale. And I think all fans are abhorred at what's going on.
I have to say one thing, though, about the argument that maybe the coach encouraged Richie Incognito to behave. And those are unconfirmed reports. I do think it's important to point that
sure.
out. In the interest of fairness, we don't know that.
But in the NFL, you know, you know that it's about physically beating up your opponent for 60 minutes. But part of it as well is mentally beating up your opponent. You have to make sure that they don't have the will to compete anymore at the end of a long game. And mental toughness is a big part of the game. Some would say even bigger than physical toughness. So, you know, being said that it's not confirmed, would it be surprising if the coaches or people told them to toughen this guy up? Not at all.
So that you could tune out that kind of level of garbage?
Sure, because everyone's a physical specimen. Everyone's training their entire life. And the difference between the winning teams and the losing teams is who has the mental toughness. And again, that's something that's going to be a big question mark for Jonathan Martin moving forward.
You know, here's something I do want to say, though, about Jimmy saying he should take the guy outside. I understand that is a a view that a lot of people have. But, I mean, isn't that what they've been saying about football all along, that it's controlled violence? That the whole point is the kind of player you want is a person who can leave it on the field, who can master his or her emotions, who doesn't, you know, they're trying to tell us this is not a gladiator sport, you know, that it's contained within rules, and that you leave it on the field and you go and do something else, and you're a different person. So why isn't Jonathan Martin the epitome of that standard? And why isn't he the guy that's being rallied around and being supported as the standard for what football should be, as opposed to a guy who's been considered the dirtiest player? Can somebody help me with that?
Because he's airing dirty laundry. You know, like Ahmad said, you know, he is shaking up this sort of, you know, uber macho, you know, environment that has pervaded NFL locker rooms for a long time, and I'm glad that he has. And I think that at the end of the day, he is the one that's going to be vindicated.
You think? So, okay.
It's important to note, I think, quickly that we haven't heard from Jonathan Martin. We don't know what he's been through, and we don't know where he's at mentally. So I'd like to see that.
And just very quickly, Riley Cooper, who was a wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, he got caught on video dropping the N-word to a bunch of people. His teammates did not rally around him. They hated him, but he's back on the field. He caught 3 touchdowns last week. He's, you know, he went to rehab, and he's better now, they say. So I think, again, the question is whether Jonathan Martin will be accepted, not whether Richie Incognito will be.
If you're just joining us, we're having our weekly barbershop roundtable. We're visiting the barbershop in St. Louis this week. We're joined by writer Jimmy Israel, commentator Arsalan Iftikhar, journalist Christopher Ave, and Ahmad Omar. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay. Now, the PC police have a new target, and I don't blame them. Now, the sports team at Coachella Valley High School in Southern California is called the Arabs. And not only does the mascot look cartoonish with a big nose and head covering, but now check this out. At halftime, a belly dancing cheerleader comes out and dances for him. Oy, well, Michelle, really?
Yeah, this is, well, Well, the president of the school's alumni association says that the Arab is paying homage to the region's agriculture, date orchards, and its Lebanese heritage. And so I'm just dying to know what you all think about that. If I...
This is Arsalan.
Arsalan's head's about to spin off his neck.
It is. This was definitely the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment of the week for me.
I think
the name Arabs is not offensive on its face, but when you look at the mascot, you know, you essentially have this cartoonish camel jockey who looks like the opening narrator in Merchant of Agrabah from the Disney movie Aladdin. And, you know, to have belly dancers come, I'm just waiting for the dancing camels, you know, to march on the 50-yard line.
So let me just ask you this. So absent the mascot, the cartoonish mascot, you'd be okay with the Arabs?
I'm not okay with it, but I'm saying that it's patently offensive once you see the mascot and the belly dancer. And I think it's very germane and relevant in today's zeitgeist because of the whole debate behind, you know, the Washington professional football team that I will not name, and the movement to have that name changed. And I think that any sports team, whether it's at the high school, college, or professional level, that has a team name that can be viewed as racist or offensive by people who are part of that demographic group should be changed.
Agreed. I agree with that, but just the word Arabs is not offensive on its face. If you just look at the name, I don't personally have a problem with it. However, you add in that mascot and the dancing, and, I mean, give me a break. And it's California. I mean, this is not, you know, the Deep South and some. This is California. What if it was
the Mexicans and the mascot was, you know, a mariachi player with a sombrero? I mean, that would be patently offensive. But would you be okay with the, you know, Rancho Cucamonga Mexicans as a team name?
Well, what about the Fighting Irish?
Well, I was about to say, and now if the Fighting Irish if the mascot is, you know, got a bottle of whiskey in his hand, I mean, of course that would be offensive. So,
and what about Chief Wahoo of the Cleveland Indians? Is he still getting love, Jimmy? I mean, what's the deal with that?
He gets okay love here. I just got back from Hollywood, and I saw more Chief Wahoo out there than I have in Cleveland, so I don't know what that says exactly. But, you know, there's some debate here, but the debate, it ebbs and flows with the weather. So they got other things to worry about in Cleveland, like keeping the lights on.
Just full disclosure, we have the rare 2 Pakistanis on the barbershop. Rare but not unprecedented. We are not Arab. Separate, distinct race. But I think, you know, this mascot is back from the 1920s and something that might have been okay back then. Times change. It's clearly not okay now.
It's interesting that these issues are coming to the fore now. That people, what do you think that is? Why do you think that is, Ahmad? That it's almost like people had lived with it and it's almost like it was part of the wallpaper. Why do you think it is that people are starting to talk about it? You think people were bothered all along? They didn't feel like they could say anything?
The country's changing. The culture culture's changing. You know, back in 1920, there probably, you know, weren't two Asian Americans on the barbershop, and there weren't Native Americans talking about how this Chief Wahoo is clearly a ridiculous caricature. You know, you got to change with the times.
Speaking of changing with the times, though, you understand we have some tweets coming in? Do we have that right? We've been asking for them. Anybody answering up on Ahmad? You know, we love hearing from listeners. We love hearing from our people have been live tweeting throughout the show. What do you have for us?
Yeah, well, I want to give it a little local flavor because we're asking people what St. Louis means to them. And I was a little bit surprised by the tame response to the opening with Christopher because for the people that weren't here, there was just a brief mention of the St. Louis Cardinals earlier, and there were just loud groans like, how dare you bring that up? So thank you, audience.
Nothing
for
but love
it
here.
Easy.
Nothing but love.
So we asked people what St. Louis means to them, and we heard this from Loris Winford. She said, St. Louis equals home, family, and history, patchwork of neighborhoods and cultural attractions held together by great food and baseball. NL champion baseball team, might I add. Let's not forget that.
Thank you. Thank you, Ahmad. I appreciate that.
And then we got another tweet, and this was actually directed to Christopher Ave. And Vodnocker said that, to me, St. Louis means great neighborhoods, architecture, food, and friends. How about you? So maybe we can throw it to Christopher Ave.
Christopher, well, actually, to you.
Actually, that was my tweet. I think he was retweeting my tweet. So.
Retweeting your tweet?
Jeez.
I'm a radio guy. FM radio, people. Forget about the internet. It's all about the radio.
Well, you know, as somebody who spent 7 years of my life here for both undergrad and law school at Washington University, I flashed my T-shirt for everyone here. St. Louis means toasted ravioli and Ted Drew's frozen custard, which I took Michelle to last night.
Like a happiness stupor.
But wait,
and
wait.
I feel kind of bereft that I am only now being exposed to it. I'm in grief over the fact that this is the first time I'm having it.
Michelle, I have three words for you.
Yes.
Gooey butter cake. You have not lived until you have this thing called gooey butter cake. Am I right?
Can we push back the flight?
Oh.
And what about the great pumpkin?
I had the great pumpkin at Ted Drew's last
night. I mean, that was like at a whole other level of awesome.
Oh, Ted Drew's, you can't beat. Now,
why did you not take me on this trip, Arslan? What's going on?
You were in the other car.
I had a Snickers bar.
I would take it personally if I were you. I think he just doesn't care about you.
Now, you want to get controversy, you talk about St. Louis pizza, because there is an Emo's faction, and then there is the rest of us who don't like Emo's. But anyway.
I'm not answering that mail. You answered that mail. So thank you for all of those thoughts. We are always listening. Please weigh in via Twitter at TellMeMoreNPR. And that's our special broadcast from St. Louis. Ahmad Omar is an NP editor for Tell Me More. He joined us in St. Louis. No, we did not take him to Ted Drew's. I'm sorry. We want to thank St. Louis Public Radio for hosting us. Also from the River City Barbershop today, Christopher Ave, political editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Arslan Iftikhar, founder of themuslimguide.com and senior editor for Islamic Monthly. Sorry, Jimmy didn't make the trip this time. Next time, we hope he joined us from NPR member station WCPN in Cleveland, where he's a writer and professor of film and social media. Thank you all so much. Thanks again to St. Louis Public Radio for hosting us.
Peace out, St. Louis.
All right.
Yep.
All right. And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our Barbershop podcast in the iTunes store. That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tune in for more talk on Monday. We'll be back in Washington.